This is my right, a right given by God to live a free life, to live in freedom. I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about freedom. I will fight for the right to live in freedom. Anyone who tries to take it away will have to answer, 'cause this is my right. I'm talking. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM Acra. My name's Ed Furtick. I'm your host today, and...
Good morning, everyone. Holly Tanner here with Ed.
Yeah.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks for being here, Holly. We do have a guest today who's sitting here patiently, but before we introduce him, I just want to go through the latest... national debt figures, actually almost getting to $18 trillion. We're at $17,999,579,848,000. That's as of yesterday, based on information from usadebtclock.com. And there are many debt clocks you can go to online, and there are slight differences between them. But according to this, every citizen's share as of yesterday was $56,324. And the national debt is rising $2.42 billion every day. The debt for a family of four is at $225,000. And President Obama's personal share of this national debt is at about 40%. Of the total accrued. So here we are with our guest, Pat Gratton, who is the chairperson of the Columbia County Board of Supervisors. So welcome to the Right Opinion, Pat.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure. I apologize for not getting you here sooner, but we'll try to get you back more often, because you're an important person in this county.
Well, thank you very much. I think I'm second in importance to the county clerk.
Oh, well,
he's a very
come
smart
on.
Man as well.
No, yes, you are very important, very, very important. Now, the listeners in Greene County might not know who you are.
Actually, they may.
But, hey, well, you do now. So how about if we get going with this? And I know how you only have about a half hour here, correct?
Right.
Because
that's correct.
There's been a death in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and you have to go to a funeral. So, that's happened. And but we have a budget to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a proposed 2015 budget for Columbia County of $147 million. This budget carries a $41.2 million tax levy and the property tax increase of 6%. So, Pat, what was the process to arrive at this year's budget? And give us some details.
First of all, Ed, I know this isn't your fault. I think you read an article where it said it was 6%. The actual tax levy increase is 0.6% for county government.
Well, I do feel much better.
That's a big difference.
Because I'm,
can
so,
I leave now?
So
that might explain Ed's little attitude.
The Albany, Pat, you were in for a tough time. I have
you
to say,
always believe what you read.
Yeah,
you know,
because
always better to do your homework.
You can't get 6% past me without a little argument here. So,
look, now he's smiling.
0.6%. Yes, I have a smile on my face.
I can leave now if you want to.
For those listeners who can't see my face, I am glad that I don't have to go through this. So, okay, but still, what was the process used to arrive at this budget, and give us a little detail of what it's going to mean to the taxpayer?
Well, for the first few years, 3 years that I've been chairman, we've always told the department heads who actually run the individual departments to go back to their home committees. We have a county committee government, a committee system of government in Columbia County, present their budgets, get their input. They're the supervisors who have the month-to-month and day-to-day knowledge of the department operations, and then make a recommendation. Thereafter, the budget goes up to the budget officer, which is myself and I, along with several of the very talented and able supervisors, meet regularly and go through the budget and try to reach a goal. We're driven, compelled by the New York State tax cap, which is 2%, or the rate of inflation, which this year is 1.56%. To come in with a tax levy increase, total amount of the levy below 1.56% of last year, which means that if we spent $100 last year, we have $101.56 to spend this year.
By law. But that's the maximum.
Maximum.
It doesn't mean you have to spend it.
No, we don't like to spend at all, but unfortunately, that 1.56% is the rate of inflation, which includes everything, as one of the supervisors said, that includes the price of tomatoes. Includes the price of tomatoes in Wisconsin. So what happens is the county also has to consider inflation also, and that's all in supplies and costs and benefits. So, but I'm pleased to say the total tax levy increase is 1.34%, which is 0.22% less than the cap.
So there. Did you say you were the chair of the budget committee?
No,
I'm the budget officer.
The budget officer, and there is a controller also. So what does the controller do relative to the budget officer? What are the differences?
What the controller does is monitors the day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month expenses, keeps track of the expenses as they occur during the year, and brings it, and at the end of the year during the process, brings it to our attention if we've exceeded the budget for the previous year, if we're under the budget, also points out cost-saving measures that we can take.
Well, you know, Holly, you are the Columbia County Clerk, for those listeners who don't know.
I am.
County Clerk and sometimes co-host of this show. do you send over any budget recommendations for your...
Absolutely. I'm a little different myself and the other elected officials in that we're constitutional officers. I'm a constitutional officer anyway, as is the DA and the sheriff. But however, we are responsible to the Board of Supervisors. This is the one area of oversight. I'm pretty autonomous, but I work well with our current administration very well, all of the supervisors. But we do, yes, I cannot just say I'm going to spend, you know, a gazillion dollars on whatever I want. I have to go through the budget process just like every other supervisor. And we just, you know, when there's, you know, we were told, you know, cut here, cut there, see where you can trim your budget. And I try to every year trim my budget. I have a very lean budget.
And a very mean machine. Lean budget, lean machine.
That's right.
And also you have great music going on over there at the Motor Vehicle Bureau during Winter War.
That's right, we do. We have very excellent music. A shout out to Conakry's Jazz Ensemble. They're fabulous under T.J. Russell. Yeah, very good.
You really have to walk into the DMV during Winter Walk. You got candy machines around you. And young people playing good music,
and it's
very,
very
festive thing. So thank you for that, Holly.
Why not open up? Absolutely.
It was the warmest and driest place to be.
Yes, it was.
This Winter War.
And the most enjoyable.
By the way, you've heard Pat Gratton and Holly Tanner both refer a number of times to the supervisors. And for those of you in Albany County and Berkshire County who are listening, and maybe in Greene and Dutchess, we do not have a legislature in Columbia County, which is why we're not referring to the legislature and the legislators. The town supervisors comprise a board of supervisors, And Mr. Granton is the chairperson of that board of supervisors, which serves as a legislative body. So, Holly, do you have any further questions on the budget before we move on to other meaningful
topics? Did I do good?
You did very good.
Thank
and as
you,
usual,
Mr.
you
Chairman.
Didn't. You didn't tell us, and I'll tell Ed and the listeners that Holly Tanner's department is the one department that actually makes money through her astute management and her capable handling of the finances. Her office actually brings in about $370,000 that exceeds the expenses for that office. So that department is a moneymaker and finances a number of the smaller departments in the county for us. And
I thank her
for her efforts.
Thank you, Chairman, very much. Yeah.
Well, that was nice.
It was nice.
Holly is...
And also true.
Holly is a great county clerk.
Thanks, Ed.
So, anyway, you think we're ready to move on to another topic?
Sure. I mean, I think the budget process is relatively, there's a hearing tonight. Is that correct?
When I thought it was 6%, I had a 10-minute speech ready, and so this killed my whole schedule here.
What else do you want to talk about, Ed?
I'm gonna write a letter to the newspaper. That was a big error. I hope they print. I mean, that's a huge error. So I hope they print a retraction or something.
Well, hopefully they get it right tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Pine Haven. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, Pine Haven is a county-owned and
run
nursing home in my village of Philmont, which is part of the town of Claverack.
Right.
And I guess it's been probably the biggest controversy in the county for a while. I mean, people who don't live in Hudson are actually doing street demonstrations about it. Now, there are three proposals right now, unless the paper is wrong about this as well. There are three proposals submitted by companies looking to take the facility over, to purchase it, to take it over from the county. And the controversy is a lot of people don't think that should happen. They think the county should keep running it. A gentleman by the name of Al Wassenhove is probably the biggest activist in the battle to keep Pine Haven as a county-owned facility. So, Pat, what's going on with this issue? How did it all start? Where is it now, and where is it going to end?
Well, I can tell you where it started. Of all... In upstate New York, in September of 2013, there was about 33 county-owned nursing homes that were actually owned by the county. Since that time, 15 of those have been the ownership's been transferred to various private entities to run them. It's a combination of factors. All the county-owned nursing homes are required to participate in the New York State retirement system. This year alone for Pine Haven, the amount of the retirement is $1.050 million, which has to be paid Monday the 15th. And the county has had to lend that money to the nursing home to cover that expense. As with this year, we've also the county has also had to lend the money for to meet payroll costs.
You're saying that the nursing home is not operating in the black?
It certainly isn't operating in the black. It never has been in my recent memory, but I will say this is another factor is all the nursing homes in upstate that are county-owned will no longer receive Medicaid payments directly from the state. They will be paid through managed care. Now, a managed care agency is much like an insurance company. It's a for-profit, and what they will be doing is negotiating Pine Haven for a rate to charge for Medicaid patients. So this means that there will no longer be any money for amortization costs. There will be no longer any money for capital expenditures, and there will probably be a reduced rate because we have such a small patient basis to negotiate with.
So am I interpreting this correctly that is this a result of Obamacare that the rules have changed somewhat?
I would say the Affordable Care Act plays into it. It plays into it more in terms of physician care, but this is directly a result of the change in New York State's Medicaid regulations, where there's managed care agencies will be paying the county for the care of Medicare patients in the nursing home.
Well, I mean, in your opinion, would it be possible for the nursing home to operate in the black? Or is there mismanagement going on?
It's not mismanagement. We've certainly had dedicated managers over there. But the reality is not only for Columbia County, but for those 33 counties that did own nursing homes that now has been reduced down to about 18, is we're all dependent upon the state and federal government to provide funding. The funding is not guaranteed for anything outside of the Medicaid payments. For example, is an IGT payment, which is an intergovernmental transfer where we depend on the largesse of the state or federal government. And although next year it's projected to be $1.3 million, $650,000 of that dollars comes from taxpayer dollars paid into social services. Next year, we're anticipating $650,000 from county taxpayers for IGT payment towards the IGT payment and $1.2 million to subsidize the nursing home. So we're talking about $1.85 million to keep the nursing home open next year.
Holly, you're pretty tuned into the community. What do you think is the main opposition, those who are in Al Wassenhove's group have? What's the argument they're making, to your knowledge?
Well, obviously, this is a very emotional topic, and I think that, you know, people are obviously concerned about the residents and the workers, which is obviously a concern that the supervisors have as well. You know, this isn't just a fly-by-night thing that the board suddenly decided to do. You know, it's been a while in the thinking process, but I do think, you know, people are concerned, and obviously we've just seen from the budget questions that you had, misinformation, you know, people are thinking emotionally instead of, you know, it's helpful to have the facts out there. I know the board has been very good about trying to have meetings and get the facts out to the public so that we can know what really is the issue and what's being talked about. You know, no one wants to, no elderly people are going to be turned out on the street.
Well, I think one of the issues is certainly jobs.
Right.
You know, it's not like Philmont is a thriving economic community yet, and Pinehaven is a big employer there.
Right.
I actually don't know how many people who actually live in the town of Claverack work there, but I have a feeling it's pretty significant. So I think there's a fear that people who live in the county could lose their jobs because some of the private companies tend to go for cheaper labor. I mean, what do you think about that, Pat?
Well, we've discussed this for over a year. Our own financial expert and auditor has come in, and he's got 40 years of experience in nursing home management. And overall, the majority of the employees are kept by the new entity. All of the entities who have bid on the county or submitted bids have promised to maintain almost 100% of the employees that are there. One of the factors that's driving this is that all over between Columbia and Green, as of September 1st, there was 130 vacant beds in the nursing homes. There's double-digit rates in every nursing home, double-digit vacancy rates in every nursing home except for one in Columbia and Green County. And one of the reasons for that is people are healthier. People are staying at home. Some people are going for alternative assisted living arrangements. So there's a vacancy rate that enters into the into this also. But nonetheless, there still be requirements to have nurses, RNs, to have LPNs and CNAs. And a private entity is much more capable of containing costs and keeping employees than is a municipality. Right now, we've got a 78% vacancy rate at the nursing home at Pinehaven.
Plus, correct me if I'm wrong, Chairman, that they're also better able to handle the billing aspect of it and keep on top of. And again, that's not to say that there's any mismanagement or issues in that regard, but it's just the changing complexities of medical billing and all that. And I think the Affordable Care Act did come into play with it somewhat. They're better able to keep up on those things than government.
You're absolutely correct on that. What happened? What's happened is as a result of the Affordable Care Act, as a result of Medicaid changes, it's very difficult for any entity to keep up with billing. Billing's very complex. Billing is a bill that's submitted has to be perfect in order to get paid within 30 days from Medicaid. And to that end, the county's brought in a professional billing service for our mental health service to speed up the billing process, enhance it, mm-hmm. and to enhance it. The protocols for billing change every 6 months.
Yeah, so I think that's a factor, too, that, mm-hmm. you know, people need to be aware of. Again, this isn't about, from what I'm hearing, and I'm hearing both sides of the issue, but even my parents who are elderly understand the concept that, you know, can we afford to continue to do this, or are we better off?
Well, I hope it all works out, because I plan to be broadcasting the show from Pine Haven in the not-too-distant future.
You have a while before that, I hope, Ed.
Yes, I do.
I'm looking at you, Ed. I suspect I might be there before you will.
We'll go interview Pat.
And I will come and visit you and make sure the budget doesn't increase by 6% for the property. Anyway, you don't have much longer to be here. So let's talk.
You're not going to touch on the other thing going on in the county? What were you going to say, Ed? Go ahead.
Well, based on the time limitation.
I can give you 5 minutes extra if you'd like.
Holly, what did you have in mind? Your eyes are going all over the place. What are you?
Oh, I'm not going to be the one to bring it up now. What is going on with, what's the status? I know the supervisors did a letter in support of Ginsburg's, but obviously that wasn't your topic, Ed?
No, I was going to go to the airport, but let's talk about Ginsburg's.
Oh, the airport is pretty much a non-issue. Ginsburg. No, and maybe, Chairman, would you like to update our listeners on the current state of the Ginsburg project?
I can say accurately and confidently that every one of the supervisors on the Board of Supervisors supports the proposed expansion of Ginsburg's. They're a vital part of our economy. There's approximately 250 jobs that would be in the new facility. We'd love to keep them in the county. We recognize that. You know, but we also have to respect what the local towns and their planning boards expect. I understand that the project was turned down by the Ghent Planning Board, and I don't know what the Ginsburgs, Ginsburg family is planning to do with that. But I can say the county will support them in every which way, as in the past, to keep the 250 jobs and the Ginsburg tradition of good service and being good corporate citizens in Columbia County.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. it's certainly a big business here, and they do employ a lot of people and pay a lot of taxes. The employees pay a lot of taxes as well, and we certainly don't want them leaving for another county. So I'm curious as to why they need so much land.
It's a 300,000 square foot building, 50 foot tall. I understand they need at least 30 acres based on what their engineers and planners have told them.
My goodness, that's a lot of ketchup.
Yeah.
It's a very big business.
Big business, ketchup and mustard.
Yeah. Well,
condiments. Mm-hmm.
Well, awesome. So you are running off to a funeral. And I guess we'll let you go before
why don't we ask another topic. Maybe we can ask the chairman very quickly, you know, what are your, can I let this cat out of the bag? You know, you chairmanship of the board, Ed, and our listeners may or may not know, but it's an annual election, if you will, mm-hmm. by the members of the board. And Pat has expressed interest in serving as chairman again for another year. And do you have any goals? Or I know you've talked about. We just had a huge accomplishment in the grand reopening of the courthouse, which all of the speakers and myself as the MC, you know, really thanked Pat for getting this done, because others who sat and wore his hat as chairman were unable to for various reasons. But, you know, that was a huge accomplishment for Pat. Are there other things, Pat?
I'd like to continue cutting costs of county government. One of the mandates that part of the tax cap is that all municipalities have to come up with a plan for reducing taxes. I believe a tax levy by 1.5%. I believe that's the number. I'm not sure. It's buried in the documents I've got in front of me. And I'm looking forward to working with all the municipalities. I may be coming up with some ideas for shared services next year. I'm also looking forward to working with all the supervisors as we move forward in 2015 for, to continue to improve county government. We've got Supervisor Matt Morrell, who's the deputy chairman, and our treasurer, P.J. Keeler, and controller Ron Campanero of bringing into birth an idea called Central Business Office, where we'll eliminate duplication of billing functions in the different county departments and bring all the receivables and payables and billing tasks together in one department. And that's a very exciting project. As we speak, the county is owed about $7.2 million in receivables. And if we can speed up the process of getting paid and get a better handle on those, that'll be a real accomplishment.
Before you go, you can give a yes and no on this. Under New York state law, there's a provision to consolidate local governments. For example, the village of Philmont could give up its functions and let Claverack take over. Are you a proponent of
when
of that?
I was first of all, no lawyer like myself ever gives a yes and no answer, Ed. And
I'm well aware of that, having worked in a law office for 22 years.
Never gives a yes or no answer, but I will say this. I was mayor of Valencia in 1991. We consolidated our highway operations with the town of Kinderhook, and that's still in place today, 23 years later. Well, in 1991, that highway department cost us about $115,000 in running costs with no capital expenditures for trucks or major projects or paving or anything like that. This year, the village of Valencia is paying $82,000 to the town for the same services. And the employees have union protection. They're guaranteed a 40-hour week. And the services is great. And I certainly am a proponent of that, but my cautionary note is it has to come from the bottom up. It has to be a cooperative venture. Nobody can impose that upon another municipality.
I believe you have to take a vote, and you need to do a petition.
You don't even need to do a vote on it. The governing board, under the General Municipal Law Section 119/O, allows for cooperative ventures. I believe in Livingston and Claremont, I'm not sure about this, they've also cooperated on buying snow fighting equipment and use it in all three towns.
I think you're talking about it needs to be seen as not being, a takeover.
Absolutely.
It has to come more from the, mm-hmm. the populace that this is what we want to do.
All right. Well, you are listening to the Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA. My name's Ed Furtick. Our guest today has been Pat Gratton, chairperson of the Columbia County Board of Supervisors, and co-hosting is Holly Tanner. We're going to be back after Johnny Cash talks about walking the line. And Pat, thanks for being with us, and I hope to have you back in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed. Chairman.
Thank you, Holly.
Yeah, great. Nice.
Awesome. Okay, so let's get a little Johnny going here. Come on, Johnny. Where's Johnny?
I could say.
Okay. Not Johnny Walker, Holly.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide, because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
Well, that was Johnny Cash and I Walk the Line. Thank you, Johnny.
Love always, that song.
Yeah, always great to have Johnny here on the Right Opinion Show. And Willie will be coming up, too, before we're done here today. Now, we had originally planned, Holly, to have our guest Pat Gratton here for the full hour.
Yes.
But there was a death in the neighborhood, and Pat needs to and wants to attend the funeral.
Right, he had to attend.
So he's not with us anymore. So, Holly, it's just you and I alone in the studio at WGXC trying to figure out what to say next, because we are without a guest.
You have some announcements.
I have. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
I do have announcements. First of all, I'm involved in a segment known as Soul Train, S-O-L-E Train. It's a health and fitness segment. And there's an episode coming up on December 15th about health supplements. Clive and Jill from Watson's Cabinet on Warren Street in Hudson are the guests. And it's very informative. I hope you listen. It's usually on... It's on the first and third Monday of every month around 7:30 a.m. and again at 4:30 p.m. So it's coming up on 12:15, December 15th, Soul Train, about 7:30 in the morning. It's never exactly at that time, but check it out. And, you know, the holiday season is coming very soon. And this year... Christmas and Hanukkah are spread apart a little bit.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, Hanukkah is next week.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's already here. Hanukkah is
coming
Tuesday.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Hanukkah is Tuesday of next week. That's only a few days from now. So you won't be hearing from me prior to that. So to our Jewish friends, happy and healthy Hanukkah.
Yes, happy Hanukkah.
Enjoy it. And the big announcement I have, a little drum roll here.
Oh.
Thank you, Holly. Very good. Too bad there's not a calling for desk players. Otherwise, you'd be...
I'd be right there.
You'd be,
huh?
You'd be right there. But our January 14th episode of The Right Opinion will probably have... Frank Serpico.
Oh, very nice.
As guest.
Okay.
Frank will be back on WGXC on January 14th, as of now. And the subject of that show will be the recent events in Ferguson and in Staten Island.
Oh, okay.
And the state of law enforcement in the United States and... maybe locally.
Mm-hmm.
Frank has recently published a lengthy article in Politico, which has gotten over 250,000 hits in the social media.
Mm-hmm.
And just the other day, he had a short article in the Daily News. He's very outspoken about this type of issue, although don't read into what I'm saying. He has viewpoints that are sort of on both sides
sure.
Of the issue in regard to race and law enforcement. So I am expecting that he would be here on January 14th. However,
very interesting. That's true. But
and
interesting guest.
Things can change.
Yes,
yeah. Well, he's been here before.
Right. I remember. Yes, I remember.
So he's a very eloquent, talkative person. Hope you listen.
Tune into that.
On that day. The Christmas, this show is scheduled to be on the air on Christmas Eve, I believe. Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? It's Wednesday.
Wednesday is Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve.
Yes.
So I don't know if we're going to have a pre-recorded replay of a show that's already been done or what we're going to do about it yet.
Okay.
But there'll be something to listen to.
Something will be going on.
Will be going on that I'm responsible for, and maybe that Holly and I are both responsible for on Christmas Eve. But there will be radio because the show must go on.
Can I make an announcement about where a Santa sighting?
Please make multiple announcements
firehouse?
Because we need to fill some time here. You could even play more drums, whatever you need to do.
I would like to. I've been asked to say that, and it's your home village, if you will. The Mellonville Fire Company will be hosting Santa this Sunday, the 14th. You can have a slice of pizza and tell Santa your wishes. And that, again, is on Sunday from 12 to 3, this Sunday at the Mellonville Firehouse. I also would like to announce first time. The official notification has not even gone out yet, but we will be doing a swearing-in ceremony and victory party for our successful candidates January 17th. That's a Saturday night, I believe, at Kozel's, starting at 6:30. And the Honorable Lisa Fisher, who was just elected, she will be serving at that point. She will have already been sworn in. She will be coming down to do the honors for our candidates who will be taking office again. So for our listeners, you know, you take office on January 1st. That's when your term starts, but you have 30 days to be sworn in officially. So that's why we have a little leeway. So those a couple announcements that I have. Thank you very much, Ed.
Well, let's spend a minute because at last episode of The Right Opinion, you and I did a recap of the results of the November 4th election.
Right.
We weren't certain about the outcome of the assembly race involving Dee Dee Barrett and Mike Kelsey because it wasn't decided.
Right.
And do you know the current status of that?
It was final. I don't know what the actual delta was, what the margin was, but Mike conceded after the absentee count.
Yeah.
I can try and find Google the results online here. But
I think the absentee ballots in this area usually are generated out of New York City and vicinity, so it's there's a large Democrat Party demographic down there. People
right.
have second homes, so I wasn't expecting much to help Mike Kelsey from the the downstate.
Right. He did very well, though.
He
and
did
I think,
very well.
You know,
and
it was
I think
a message.
He actually have more votes than Dee Dee in Columbia County, but he lost it in Dutchess?
Yes, although I'm not sure if that held true. That was on the regular vote. I'm not sure if that held true with the absentees.
But I mean the total vote. I believe the total vote was extremely.
Before absentees. That's what I'm saying.
Before absentees, right. He was ahead in Columbia County.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, he did well, but, you know, this is the Right Opinion show, and my opinion, which isn't necessarily the opinion of management here at WGXC, is that we, on the right side of the political spectrum, need to get someone in there who's going to beat Dee Dee at some point. What do you think, Holly?
I agree. I mean, you know, again, it's...
But you...
worked very hard and campaigned and...
He
was a good candidate.
Oh, I'm not knocking him, but...
No, I know you're not.
But I still... I love the guy. He's an interesting guy. I mean, he's a lawyer, a professor, or has an outdoor adventure company.
Yes.
Dutchess County Legislature. And... but, Holly, do you have any... aspirations to go to Albany?
Oh, that's...
Didn't expect that one, huh? I mean, I have to say something will stop you from typing on your
I have another announcement to make. But that is not it, that I have aspirations. You know, I love my job as county clerk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while I certainly appreciate and respect those who serve in Albany, I myself, you know, I see myself sitting over down at 560 Warren Street for a long time. I really enjoy my my job there and being able to help people, almost immediate gratification if I can. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and
so no. in a short word, so, you never say never. I've learned that in this business as well.
Right,
but
right.
I just really enjoy my job too much, and I feel that personally I can be much more effective and helpful doing the job that I'm doing.
Well, I'm not
clerk.
Encouraging to you to leave your current
Thank
job
you.
Because I like going to the Motor Vehicle Bureau.
Encourage everyone
it's
to come
a positive,
to Motor Vehicle.
Experience. Of course, if you don't own a motor vehicle, there's not much of a reason to go there. But I keep saying the candy machines are good and there's a good bathroom.
Well,
so you can go.
We do passports if you need your deed. Court
oh, that's
actions,
right. Yeah, yeah.
Solid waste bags. Just come in to say hi. We love that. I've been asked to announce that Santa will also be in Niverville at the Niverville Firehouse for breakfast on Saturday. That's this Saturday from 8:30 to 11:30. $7 for adults, $5 for kids, under 3 free. 888 Main Street, Niverville for your GPS. So thank you to Fireman Jim for that little Facebook message. Thank you.
Yeah. Ed. Okay, thank
Santa's
you.
Santa's very busy this time of year. You know, it's getting to be his special day, and then he rests for the rest of the year. But it's his time. He's all over the place.
Well, that's true, and thanks for that announcement. To get back to a little political stuff, and by the way, this has to do with Philmont, my village.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I often go into the village office, and there are two lovely ladies who work there. And they're very, very efficient and calm, cool, and collected individuals. Just solid citizens, never get worked up, never argue. Well, I went in there, and they were worked up. And why were they worked up? Because
they were
putting out a petition to remove a new village judge by the name of Russ Imarigian. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. He's a Philmont judge, newly elected. Evidently,
does he not live in the district? Is that
well? No. He got elected. There were other candidates, but he challenged the results of... He challenged their petitions, and instead of fighting it out, the other candidates dropped out, and he was basically unchallenged, became the village judge. And since that moment, his theory of law enforcement has come out, and that theory is let everyone go no matter what. It doesn't matter how bad the drug crime. He is basically letting everyone off. So these calm, cool, and sedate individuals in the village office have been circulating a petition, which now has 200 signatures. Mayor Skip Speed is so anxious to get rid of this village judge.
Wow.
That he is offering him his full year's pay just to leave.
Wow. That's almost unheard of.
So this is controversy in film. Skip Speed says, I'm trying to offer the guy $5,000 to walk, but I can't reach him.
Oh, dear. I knew there was something going on. I wasn't sure of the exact specifics.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. For those of you fascinated with this topic, you can go to today's issue of the Register Star because it is a headline or a front page story by Siobhan Barton. This, of course, is presuming the story is correct, because after the mess with the budget,
that really threw you for a
loop. I don't know if
we could. Yeah,
it threw me for a loop.
Right.
Yeah, it was funny. Well, you knew I was ready to.
I did. Your attitude was a little off, and understandably why now. And so I guess, one tends to presume that what you read in the paper is accurate. But
well, even if
we've run into this before, though, with.
Well, this was off by 1,000%.
Well, that's a big mistake.
From 6.6% to, I'm not a whiz in math, but 0.6 and 6 is like 1,000% difference. So Pat's a really nice guy. I really never had a chance to speak to him.
Yeah, he is. He's a very good guy. He does a good job.
And I didn't know he was an attorney.
Yes, he is.
And he's the town supervisor of
Kinderhook, which is the largest town in the county.
Yes, largest town in the county, yeah. And the ancestral home of President Martin Van Buren.
That's right. It's actually larger than the city of Hudson, the population of Kinderhook.
Yeah, although you would never know it driving through the main street.
You wouldn't. It's very quiet and rather bucolic. And yes.
Yeah, but it's not
metropolis, but
no,
it is.
But the homes are closer
wise.
Together, and it's a very beautiful place. And
all of Columbia County is.
That's true.
Isn't it? We
that's
live in a great
true.
County.
There are sections that could stand some improvement. Philmont has some areas that could stand some improvement.
But they're working on that.
They're working on that.
It's working.
And it's can't complain. I'm glad I'm here. And for those of you who tuned in recently, you're listening to The Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA. I just want to mention the website we have.
Okay.
Because everyone should take advantage of it at WGXC.org, because there are events, community events listed there. You can list an event, and it's very easy to use. It's user friendly. So if you have an event,
oh nice,
you can list it. The date, the time, little information, very easy to use, and you can also see what's going on in the community. Also, there is a show archive there that is very extensive. So if there's a particular show that you're fond of and you missed an episode, you can get to that archive and look at it,
or if
and
you
listen
just
to it.
Want to go back and listen again because you like hearing our voices.
Yes, Holly has a very soothing voice, so if you want to listen to it, tune.
Your listening pleasure. Yes,
she's always available. She's available for you 24 hours a day on the archive.
I try.
Yeah. So, and by the way, there is also a way to donate money to WGXC at the website.
Very important point.
It's an important point.
Local radio station without corporate funding. Is that? No,
right.
It's not a corporate funded station.
That's right.
Although they do take corporate donations, don't they?
Well, there's underwriting.
Underwriting.
So I'm not going to go into the details of underwriting.
I didn't want to scare any corporations.
But it is there on the website. You can check out underwriting.
Which is
www.wgxc.org. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, Holly.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if there is any thing going on that's exciting that falls under your bailiwick as Columbia County Clerk? Are there any? When is the Board of Supervisors meeting next?
Tonight. The board meeting is tonight.
And it's open to the public.
The budget hearing is tonight. The board meetings are open to the public. 7:30 is the official meeting time. That's when the board meeting starts. But I believe 5:30 is the hearing on the budget. So, yeah, so that's tonight at the county, the main county office building, which is 401 State Street in Hudson. So if you're curious about what's going on, it's they also videotape those, and those are available as well online. But the board meeting's tonight. You know, I mentioned this, Ed. We have SAFE Act issues coming up again with the reelection of Governor Cuomo. That's moving forward. Recertification is coming, folks, for those of you who own pistols and have pistol permits. That process will begin on January 1st, hopefully not in Columbia County until later in the spring, but I will keep everyone posted on that. And we may do another forum like I did when the SAFE Act was first passed down at the college to let everyone know what is entailed in recertification. So other than that, just please remember to do your DMV business locally. Come see us for passports. As Pat mentioned, you know, I try to keep business in Columbia County so that it helps keep our taxes low, because with all these unfunded mandates and everything else, cost of doing business for government is just as expensive as it is for other businesses. So buy local includes not only small businesses, but DMV. So come see me.
Yeah, and also let's mention that veterans discount.
Favorite program, yeah.
Yeah, because I actually was able to use that card at Odd Job Trading, not because they accepted the card, but mm-hmm. they accepted it as
proof
that I was a veteran.
Good.
So
I encourage
that in and of itself.
Yes.
That's because, you know, military retirees have some type of formal identification that they're retired, I believe. However, if you just served in the military, they don't?
No, typically, I mean, they talk about you have a VA card.
DD-214.
Well, but you have an ID card if you're receiving services from the VA. But
right.
if you're not, if you're just, you might not have something that says you are retired military.
And
so
I don't know why that is.
Card.
Retired or having served. And, you know, you have a good relationship with Congressman Gibson. You should mention that to him. Why shouldn't veterans have some kind of government card saying
you're
veterans?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how much could that cost?
Exactly.
Compared to the deficit.
Instead of issuing a DD-214 in paper form, they should just get a card.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Give me credit
for
it when you talk to him.
Absolutely.
Okay, you call it the Furtick card. Look, there's Obamacare and there's FurtiCard.
FurtiCard.
Okay, so I think that works.
Oh,
well,
dear.
Anyway, we're almost done here. This has been a show with Pat Gratton as our guest. He is the Columbia County Chairperson for the Board of Supervisors. Holly Tanner is here co-hosting.
Been a pleasure.
Yeah, and
always
I'm
fun, Ed.
I'm Ed Furtick, and we're going to go out in a minute with Willie Nelson.
Great.
Always on my mind. I think it's going to be. And gee, it's been great having you here, folks. So we will see you, or we won't see you, but we know you'll be listening next time. So this is Ed Furtick signing off for the Right Opinion Show, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have, and maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry I was blind. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. And maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told. I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. But you were always on my give me one more.